Hello, welcome back. Now let's look at genetic engineering. Genetic engineering, we said, is just taking a gene from one organism and placing it into a different organism. Now, what is a gene? A gene is a section of the DNA, and it codes for the production of a particular protein. So a gene is a section of the DNA that codes for the production of a particular protein, right? So we are able to now take genes from organisms and place them into different organisms. So that is an achievement that the biological world has done. Thumbs up to them for that. Now let's look at the definition of genetic engineering that is in your syllabus. It says that genetic engineering is changing genetic material of an organism. Right, we are changing the genetic material of an organism. How? By removing the genetic material that was already there, inserting a new genetic material, or just by changing individual genes. In other words, you can swap the places, right? If it's BCA, it can be ABC, right? So, I mean, you can change the individual genes by changing in the, or you can just take out, yes, the sorry, you can take out a gene and put a new and swap a gene, right? Or you can change the whole DNA to the genetic material of a substance, right? So you can change individual genes, or you can change the whole thing. Now let's look at the genetic engineering examples. We looked at it in the biotechnology slide, where we said we can use insulin. Now, insulin, as you know from the blood glucose regulation podcast, I said that when somebody has type 1 diabetes, what happens is the pancreas stops producing insulin. Insulin is needed to monitor, okay, to control blood glucose levels in the body. How so? When blood glucose levels go too high, the pancreas secretes insulin, and that makes the glucose in the blood be converted to glycogen, and it will be stored in the liver and in the muscles. Right. Now, if your body stops producing insulin, that means you cannot lower blood glucose levels in the body, and that is very, very dangerous. So what happens is those type of people are given synthetic insulin, okay, that they can put in their bodies, and that insulin is now made by microorganisms, right? So let's just look at how it happens. We'll look at how it happens after we just look at. So we'll look at some advantages so now in your syllabus it needs you to know some examples of that. And one was the insertion to insert insertion of human genes into bacteria to produce human insulin. Okay, so we said you take a gene from a human cell and you put it into a bacterial cell. That gene was the insulin gene. From a human cell, you put it into a bacterial cell, and that bacteria will produce insulin. Okay, we looked at that. Now, second example that your syllabus wants you to know is the insertion of genes into crop plants to confer resistance to herbicides. Now, what are we saying? We are saying that if you want to spray a field with herbicides will attack every crop, every plant, right? So what you got to do is you need a way of protecting your crops so that if you spray herbicide, it only kills the weeds. So what they do is they can insert a certain gene, right, into a crop, and that gene would be a gene that does not, okay, that gives it resistance to the herbicide, and that crop won't be killed. So now the herbicide will be killing everything else but your crop. Okay, so that is what they're saying. Right, and if you check Mary Jones, the biology textbook, it talks about the working on soybeans, where they protected them glyphosate, okay? Glyphosate is used by many farmers in the world today, and you can protect your soybeans by putting a certain gene in them, and that gene would work to resist or resent, okay, the glyphosate. So the glyphosate won't kill the beans, okay, but it will only kill wheat. Now the other third example in your syllabus was you looking at the insertion of genes into crop plants to confer resistance to insect pests. In other words, if you don't want your crop to be eaten by pests, you can insert a gene that makes it resistant to those pests. Like what can happen is, the moment a pest bites a teeny little bit of the leaf or anything, the stem, it will be killed, right? So we insert a gene into that crop, and that crop will be so deadly to the pest. If the pest eats any part of that crop, it will die. So that's another way that we can use to protect crops. We can insert genes that protect them from herbicides, or we can insert genes that protect them from the pests themselves, right? Now, some advantages of this genetic engineering is it can reduce the number of times that farmers have to spray herbicides, okay? Because it's very effective. The once that they spray the herbicide, it kills all the weeds and leaves the crop alive. So the farmers don't have to repeatedly spray, because they can just use a very strong dose once, and it will kill everything, right? You can have these genetically modified crops having high yields because they don't have weeds around them to compete for nutrients and water. Why so? Because the weeds can be killed easily using those herbicides. So that is another advantage that you can have. Now, they also might help to reduce the cost of labor. You don't have to work as much, okay? The labor cost is much lower because you don't need as many workers. So you don't have to pay for as many workers because you can just spray the garden instead of having a lot of people weeding. So this is like a bit of geography, I think, in bio right now. And they're making us look at advantages and disadvantages, right? But it's important, so why not we just do it? Now, the disadvantages of this thing is that, yes, though it reduces labor costs, the cost of you buying the equipment and the chemicals can be very high. So it can be a reverse of the profit you had initially made by removing labor. So the cost can be the same, okay? The production cost can be the same, because instead of labor, now you're paying for equipment, machinery, and you're paying for chemicals, right? And for the last example we looked at, where we said you can make a gene, you can insert a gene that helps a crop be resistant to pests. The problem with that is a pest can develop resistance to that gene. And once it develops resistance, that means it is not killed by that gene, even if it eats that crop. Okay? So with time, they can develop resistance, the pest, and you'd have trouble then. So yes, though they are nice, these genetically modified crops, it works for some time, but after a short time, the pester back to business. Okay, so what you then need is some methods, you know, not necessary. Now let's some methods that they use, maybe I can tell you, is they can have a field close by that has the normal crop, that it does not have any genetical modification. So when the pest eats the normal crop and comes to then eat the genetically modified crop, it can die because it is not developing resistance due to the change of crops that it's eating. Okay. Now the other thing is that weeds for herbicide, for the ones that the genes that we use to give a crop resistance to herbicide, it can be transferred to how? In reproduction of plants, right? You could have the pollen from one plant go to the stigma of another, and of a weed, right? If you have the pollen transferred to the stigma of the weed, then the weed will have will be called a super weed because it now has the genes of resisting the herbicide, so it will never be killed by that. But that hasn't actually happened. So though it's considered to be a challenge, we haven't met it yet, right? So no crop, no weed has been able to do that. So right now, let's just look at how that genetic engineering is done and will be done for genetic engineering. How does it happen, right? So we talked about that type 1 diabetes problem, and okay, we looked at it. Now let's look at some steps of this genetic engineering. In step 1, the syllabus says it has isolation of DNA, making up a human gene. So it's using an example of the insulin example, right? And it's saying isolation of DNA, making up a human gene, using restriction enzymes, making sticky ends. So what you do is you add restriction enzymes, okay, into a restriction enzyme to your DNA sample, and what it does is it cuts the DNA at particular points, right? It goes and cuts the DNA and it makes a gene. Remember, we said a gene is a section of DNA. So it goes and cuts the DNA at certain points, that restriction enzyme, and the points that it has cut are now called sticky points. Why? Because those points will be open to more genes coming to be stuck onto them, right? So we cut them, now they're open to other genes being stuck on them, right? So we add a restriction enzyme, step 1, to our DNA sample, and restriction enzymes make sticky ends, okay? In other words, they cut the DNA sample and they produce sticky ends, right? Step 2 is cutting of the bacterial plasmid DNA with the same restriction enzymes, forming complementary sticky ends. What we are now saying is, we then take the same restriction enzyme that we've put in human DNA, right? And we now put it in bacterial DNA, right? The bacterial plasmid DNA. And what it does is, if you're using the same restriction enzyme, it will go and make sticky ends in the bacterial DNA also. It cuts the bacterial DNA, right? And it makes sticky ends. The sticky ends it makes in the bacteria DNA that it makes will be complementary. In other words, they can fit in to the sticky ends that it made in the human DNA. So if you use the same restriction enzymes, it will make complementary sticky ends. Okay? So we talked about you adding it to the DNA sample of the human. Now we added it to the plasmid DNA. A plasmid is a ring of DNA, right? So we just add it to a plasmid DNA sample of the bacteria, and it will cut the DNA also into genes, and the gene will have sticky ends. that are complementary to the ones in the human sample, right? Now, what you then do is you check the third stage of the syllabus would say insertion of human DNA into bacterial plasmid DNA using DNA ligase to form a recombinant plasmid. So what you then do is you take the human DNA, you place it, okay? The restriction enzyme has made your gene, right? So you identify the length of DNA that you need, right? That is the gene. With a sticky end. So you take the human genes, you mix them with the genes from the bacterial plasmid. And when you mix them, the sticky ends will they are complementary, so they'll stick to each other. So now what happens is the ligase is now what sticks them, the open ends together. They were open ends. When they come together, the ligase sticks them together. And you've made a new ring of DNA. And we said a ring of DNA is called a plasmid. So they call them recombinant plasmid, because we now have human gene, bacteria gene stuck together to make a plasmid. So it's now called recombinant plasmid, right? Now, step four is insertion of plasmid into bacteria. Now we are saying the plasmids are then put in a culture, right? We said a culture is that you find in fermenters, right? So you place it into a culture of bacteria, and what would happen is the bacteria would then take up the new rings and put them inside themselves, right? So they'll take up the plasmids and put them inside themselves, and these new plasmids are now insulin plasmids, right? Remember, it was an insulin gene from a human being. So it will come and it's now inside a bacteria, right? So what would happen is you now have a bacteria with a human gene. And what happens, the bacteria, the last stage five, the syllabus says replication of bacteria containing recombinant plasmid, which make human protein as they express the gene. In other words, now we would have the bacteria multiplying, reproducing, and it's reproducing. That bacteria has a human gene for production of insulin, right? So we have a bacteria with recombinant plasmids multiplying, and they can now start to make insulin for us in large scale, right? So that is it for genetic engineering. Thanks for sticking to the end. Thanks for listening. Remember, share the news with your friends. Invite them to come and listen to some podcasts and get some help for the IGCSC course. And I'm sure you will pass. If you pass, just send me an email. Or you can head, I'll put the link to the website, and you can just go and give a testimonial there. And I'll be very, very grateful. Okay, thanks and bye-bye.